glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends on this Thursday, the 25th of August. My name is Tim Nelson from the WLUJ Great News Media Studios at 600 West Mason in Springfield. Bible teacher and great news media listener Bernie Lutchman has a new book, Spoken, the 316 Verses of the Old Testament. He says it's a book with real-life stories of great people of God alive today who reflect the relevance of the Word of God to life in the 21st century. We'll talk with Bernie coming up right after this from the group We the Kingdom with a song based on John 3:16. Here's God So Loved.
God so loved the world.
today, we've got a special guest, a longtime friend of this ministry, 30 years or so. Bernie Lutchman is in the studio today. He's an author. In fact, we'll talk about his third book that he just released. It's called Spoken, the 316 verses, like 3:16 verses of the Old Testament. He's also involved as president of Businessmen in Christ, a group here in the Springfield area. Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference, prayer leader there, and you kind of got that going, you and some folks back in 2007. It's Spoken, the 316 verses of the Old Testament. Why 316?
Well, you know, John 3:16 seems to be the most popular Bible verse in culture, in the end zone at football games, on people's faces, on their shoes, and so on. So I came up with this idea, like, why not go through every 3:16 verse of the entire Bible and write on them? And not just write, like, as a theological book, because, you know, I'm not seminary trained. In fact, I dropped out of seminary in 2002. So that
we'll leave that to the other guys.
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
Give the common guys.
I'm more of a grassroots guy. Like, what does the Bible say to us, and how can we apply it to our lives? And so I went through all the 3:16 verses of the entire Bible, and there were so many that I had to split it in half.
So this is the Old Testament book version. Eventually, you're saying your next book will be 3:16 of the New Testament.
That's right, and that's halfway done right now. Right. The reason it's not done is because I got stuck in Galatians 3:16.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think the Lord has just released the block in my brain, so I'll probably finish that before the end of this year, and we'll have it out in the winter.
Do you have one of those 3:16, chapter 3, verse 16, favorites? Is there a verse that's your favorite that really maybe stuck out a little to you more than the others?
They are all so powerful, but I think the most... My favorite actually is Proverbs 3:16, but I think the one that I started off with, Genesis 3:16, in the beginning, I think is applicable to so many people today who are hurting. In fact, I should read it so people will know what we're talking about.
Sure, yeah, good idea.
Genesis 3:16 says, "To the woman he said, God, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, and yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule after you." But I concentrated on the word pain, which he used there twice. And what I did was a friend of mine use a real life example. A good brother of mine, Kevin DeVries. I don't know if you remember a movie back in 2015, a few years ago, came out called Finding Noah, the movie. Mm-hmm. He led an expedition up Mount Ararat to find Noah's Ark, and they were led by the United States Air Force AWACS plane, and the radar, they saw this thing sticking out there in the ice, and they thought it was Noah's Ark. So Kevin, who's from Grand Rapids, Michigan, went up there and led this expedition. Afterwards, he told me, and he came back down, and he said they knew that the Ark was not there, the Air Force, but they were just going along with but the thing that came out of that was he and several other men found a footing in Christ, and just being that high up and anticipating finding the Ark, and they made a movie out of it and was released in theaters nationwide, and it's now on video. And but the thing is, in 2019, he was jogging. He jogs a lot, big man, former youth pastor and stuff, and he ran through a cemetery, and he said he saw a figure in white, so he didn't pay much attention to it. He kept running. And somewhere down the path there, he passed out. And 15 minutes later, an EMT who was driving by found him, and he had no pulse. He was dead. The EMT, there's a YouTube video about this on YouTube. He gave him CPR, brought him back to life. And that's related here in this book without giving out, what do you call them, spoilers?
Yes.
Without giving out too much.
Right.
His story is used here as an example of pain and because of the fall. Kevin, I mean, he had some heart issues. Everyone found out afterwards, and he was in the hospital. And through that pain, he found another purpose, because he found that even though he was doing all this great stuff, leading men's ministry through his ministry, Grace Exploration, he needed to do more, and he needed to spend more time with his children and just be this man of God, more intentional. Miraculously, he recovered, so much to the point that this past April, he climbed Mount Everest. Crazy thing is, he invited me to go with him.
You went?
Vicky said I can go, but what happened was last December, I had emergency surgery, and I was flat. I was laid out, and basically I didn't recover till about March fully. And if you're going to climb Mount Everest, tell me where in Central Illinois you're going to find a mountain with snow on it that you're going to train on.
Yeah, right, right.
So he lives in Michigan, which is a little more applicable. And so he went up to Everest, and then he went up to another place a little higher than that. His pain engineered him to be more purposeful in his ministry. Mm-hmm. And that came out of that first verse of 3:16. So what I'm trying to do in this book here is not just go through a bunch of theology and application.
Yeah, it sounds like you've started in Genesis, you're going all the way to Malachi, and you're talking about the chapter 3, verse 16 of each one of those books, and then probably relating some personal stories, just like this.
Yes, personal stories. Kevin, myself, when I had those two broken wrists 2 years ago in 2020, and my friend, also Pastor Eric Ginder, he made another chapter. Well, he died in the back of his car while after preaching in a prison in Missouri and heading back home. And they had an air vacuum down to the University of Missouri in Columbia for heart surgery and brought him back to life. So there's two stories like that in this book. God is an amazing God, and he's in the restoration business. And the three of us men, broken and in pain, he used that to propel us into something greater.
If you've just tuned in and joined us during this Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, Bernie Lutchman is our guest. His brand new book, Spoken, the 3:16 verses of the Old Testament, is available. When you gathered all the 3:16 verses, did you notice any overarching theme? Like, what was the big takeaway? Was there anything there were all the inspired holy word of God. Was there anything that thought at all tied together in a certain way?
Yes. Well, it's God's redemptive story, as you know. And I found it in the thread. I see Jesus in everything. Mm-hmm. And he is a thread there through the story of redemption. And as we know, the Bible was not put into a chapter and verse until way after it was, mm-hmm. after the canon was put out there. But I did find a thread, and there was a lot of brokenness and how God restores through that brokenness, but also teaches us, like Psalm 23, yet do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. We go through that sort of stuff, and we live life in the valley. Occasionally, we're on the mountaintop, but we live in the valley, and he's with us all the way.
Yeah, the mountaintop is so short, isn't it, compared to the valley?
That's right.
So for maybe a listener that's maybe not familiar with you beyond this conversation today, give us a little bit of your background. How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I grew up in church. My mother was a Church of England. We grew up in church.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the Caribbean in Trinidad.
Okay.
And have a lot of different backgrounds. My father sent us to Catholic school. So and then when he died early, you're pretty young, it was a Presbyterian youth minister who had a youth group who kind of took me under his wings, and that's how I came to love the Lord and the kingdom work. But I was not born again until I was 32 years old. I was doing a lot of missions work and kingdom stuff, and I did a lot of street ministry at Illinois State Fair in the past, witnessing, led several people to the Lord, and I know the difference now. Well, when I was born again, I knew I was born again. The Holy Spirit came to live in me. Mm-hmm. But I made it my mission after that, but being born again, after going, living the church life, quote unquote, and knowing the difference, that to basically make the Lord known and the conversion story, that you must be converted to Jesus to live the Christian life. Otherwise, you'll be faking it all the way to, mm-hmm. in the way to hell, basically. And one of the what we try to do in all these out ministry things that we do, opportunities, whether it's in BMIC, Businessmen in Christ, or a National Day of Prayer, or the State Fair where we're part of the Power Light team, is to let people know that you have to be born again. You can't, mm-hmm. you don't. There's people can tell you when they get baptized. Some of them can't tell you when they got saved. And I've led a couple pastors to the Lord in over the years. One was a Southern Baptist pastor from Florida who was taking people on mission trips to Haiti, of all places, Haiti. Hmm. You have to go in there with your full armor on.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's another young associate pastor of a mega church in Chicago came to the Illinois State Fair, and I led him to the Lord because he didn't know the gospel. Nowadays, people don't have the biblical worldview that they should. And in fact, I like to jump off to that. If you read the Ezekiel 3:16, we talk about the biblical worldview in the book. If anything comes out of these books that I'm writing, this one was called Spoken, and the 3:16 verses of the New Testament is called Revealed, because Jesus is revealed there. If one thing can come out of it, no matter where this book goes, is that people will find a truth and develop more of a biblical worldview. As you know, Barna has developed a lot of surveys and found that only 9 or 10% of people who call themselves Christian have a biblical worldview. And you can't know God without knowing the Bible. I'm sorry, but you know, that's just the way it is.
Sure. And if maybe a new listener is listening to one of the 19 frequencies today, and maybe they're not necessarily a believer, and they hear the words biblical worldview, can you define that a little more?
People like you and I, Tim, we believe the Bible is inspired and in the inspired Word of God, and it has everything we need to live for soul care, for getting up in the morning, for raising your kids, and for walking through the day, and for even your job, because you work as unto the Lord. And it also shows us how to live, Romans 12, how to live in the church with each other, how to live with your spouse at home, and so on and so forth. And if we don't know the Bible and what it says and how to apply it to our lives, well, then we don't have a biblical worldview. And too many people, especially in modern church, where the verses are thrown up on the wall and nobody walks with the Bible anymore, you could find a coffee cup instead of a Bible has replaced the Bible in Christianity nowadays. So that's why I think the pastor may have a Bible or he may not. He may have a device. And he may say, read your Bible, but you mean how are you going to inspire people to do that?
We're living on bullet points a lot of times, aren't we?
That's
instead
right.
Instead of digging in deeper.
And topical sermons and expository. You have to know word by word what God says.
Yeah. Well, the Bernie Lutchman that I've known here for a little over a year, because I'm still new, I guess, around here somewhat, is someone that makes himself available to be constantly used by God. And it's funny, you know, the different events I'll go to, like when I was at, I wasn't at the State Fair this year, but last year I'm there at one of the big Christian concerts, and all of a sudden there's Bernie, you know, right in the break time of preaching the gospel and telling others about Jesus Christ. And God's got you involved in so much right now. You're a part of the Gideons.
I've been with the Gideons since 1995, and we've distributed so many Bibles and scriptures around well, around central Illinois, you lose count. We were at Illinois State University for our annual Freshman Week distribution, and I think coming up we have the University of Illinois, Champaign, Western, Eastern, and so on. And we do several local high schools every few years. We do all the local high school circuit that would allow us, because we have to get permission from the principal, and we stay on public sidewalks so we don't trespass or there's a First Amendment that we have to be doing that.
So you're handing out those New Testaments.
New Testaments,
and,
yes.
Being a part of the conversation if God leads you that way.
Yes, I've had some pretty crazy conversations as well as encouraging ones. I handed a New Testament to a young man in Illinois State University up in Bloomington Normal, and he said, you know, I'm not a Christian. I was like, well, we want you to read it then. So I showed him in the front where we have the helps, like for anxiety, you turn to page 10, mm-hmm. And for fear and so on, depression. And he's like, yeah, thank you. I'll read it.
It was a surprise to him that it could be that practical, you think?
Yeah. A biblical worldview is having that, realizing the Bible is practical for everyday living.
Yeah. Amen. Spoken, the 3:16 verses, like 3:16 verses of the Old Testament. It's Bernie Lutchman's latest book. We encourage you to check that out. Where's a good place that they can purchase
Amazon.
That book?
Amazon.com. Yep.
The other two books, what are the titles?
The first one is called Activate. What I did was I went through several books of the Bible and extracted all the prayers. And why did he or she pray this, and how they prayed, and how God responded, and how we should pray. So that's the first book. The second book is Psalm 119. The words 119, I went through Psalm 119, and it became, it's been used for Bible study in certain small groups around the city that It's been used in several church groups. A friend of mine used it to witness to a Mormon in Arizona. Chapter 1 of that 119. So, you know, you never know what God can do with some of these books. I self-publish my books on Amazon, so it goes directly from Kindle into Amazon, and it's available both in paperback and Kindle.
Again, the name is Bernie Lutchman. The book is Spoken, the 316 Verses of the Old Testament.
If you look through this book, Proverbs 3:16 is dealt with twice. In sequence, as a 316 verses in the Bible. And then the last word, I went back to Proverbs 3:16. And I just like want to read that verse to wrap this up, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The Lord says in Proverbs 3:16, long life is in her right hand. Talk about wisdom, God's way of wisdom. Mm. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. And the riches that God is talking about is not material riches. I think what we all search for is wisdom. And James talks about it. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. This is why I ended up the book like this, Proverbs 3:16. At least for me and anybody who reads this book, maybe they find a trove of wisdom and something that inspire them to keep studying further. That's the whole reason I do all this stuff.
Bernie Lutchman, thank you for your time today on Mark and Friends. If you want more information about Bernie's latest book that we discussed, it's available online at Amazon.com. And we also have the book for a suggested donation of $10, the WLUJ Studios at 600 West Mason Street in Springfield. I'm Tim Nelson. Have a great rest of the day, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as Mark will be back in front of the microphone for Friday's edition of Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. and the rebroadcast at 7:32 p.m. Illinois time on this great news media station.